Morning.
Good morning. Morning.
Y'all pray for me. Can y'all pay attention, please, up front? Thank you. Usually they goof off in the back. Crystal, like, I'm out. Y'all pray for me. I laying in bed, opened my eyes about 3:20 this morning. And I ain't go back to sleep. I'm on E. There's nothing in the tank. Nothing. Let us pray. We thank you so much for who you are, Father. A good, good Father who cares for his children. Never turns his back on us. Never abandons us. Never even speaks or thinks ill of us. Sent our elder brother to die on the cross in our place. And he rose from the dead with all power and might. And we're so thankful that no one or nothing can separate us from you, can snatch us out of your hand. Lord, move me out of the way. This audience, Lord, their hearts have been prepared by you to receive your word. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
If you will, turn to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. And I want to draw your attention to the first five verses. As usual with me, the Lord waits until the very last minute to release a word. I was so bold in my trying to be bold in my studies, where I sat down at the table and got my books and everything in front of me, and he said, "I haven't released the word to you." I'm like, "But I got time right now." He like, "Yeah, you just chill." So that's how he talks to me.
That's his way.
He knows how I'll hear it and what I need to hear when I need to hear it. You know, because sometimes we get the can't help us and we get busy, you know, and he's like, "Hey, it's my time. It's my word for my people." John chapter 15, verses 1-5 says, "I am the true grapevine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit, and he prunes the branches that do bear fruit so that they will produce even more. You've already been pruned and purified by the message I have given you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Yes, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me, and I in them, will produce much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing." That's the word of God for the people of God. Amen?
Amen.
This is a familiar passage, and I was thankful that the Lord pointed out at the time I was supposed to study and get the word that I had did a lesson on this passage, and I was able to glean from that information, and I was like, I see why, even after all these years of preaching, I see why you set this time, this word. Like, I get it, I understand. So, I'm learning, brothers and sisters, to just obey. It's hard, it's hard, but I'm learning. to put it into practice. You know, I practice driving cars and riding bikes and lifting weights. It's practice. He knows that we are works in progress. So don't be so hard on yourselves. And I'm saying that to me as well. Verse 1 says, I am the true grapevine, and my Father is the gardener. A single vine can bear many grapes. The vine represents Christ's relationship with his disciples, i.e. learners and followers. That's us. It's just not them guys that we read about. We're learners and followers of Christ. Christians. We learn, we follow Christ. Not your mom and them. They have their purpose, our parents, our elders. They have their purpose. But we're supposed to be following Christ. So Jesus is the one true vine. We are the branches. So, if you will, turn with me to Isaiah chapter 5. Isaiah chapter 5. And we'll be looking at verses 1 through 7. Isaiah 5:7 says, now I will sing for the one I love a song about his vineyard. My beloved had a vineyard on a rich and fertile hill. He plowed the land, cleared its stones, and planted it with the best vines. In the middle, he built a watchtower and carved a wine press in the nearby rocks. Then he waited for a harvest of sweet grapes, but the grapes that grew were bitter. Now you people of Jerusalem and Judah, you judge between me and my vineyard. What more could I have done for my vineyard that I have not already done? When I expected sweet grapes, why did my vineyard give me bitter grapes? Now let me tell you what I do, what I would do with my to my vineyard. I will tear down its hedges and let it be destroyed. I will break down its walls and let the animals trample it. I will make a wild place where the vines are not pruned and the ground is not hoed, a place overgrown with briars and thorns. I will command the clouds to drop no rain on it. The nation of Israel is the vineyard of the Lord's, of the Lord of heaven's armies. The people of Judah are his pleasant garden. He expected a crop of justice, but instead he found oppression. He expected to find righteousness, but instead, he heard cries of violence. Amen. So, when we look over here in John 15, and then you go back to Isaiah chapter 5, you can see that, one, this is an agrarian culture. They were into crops and farming and things of that nature. That's why you see so much of that in the Bible. And the Lord uses those things, their society. It's called parables, basically an earthly story with the heavenly meaning. But in this culture, they could relate to people having vineyards, you know, people planting crops, sowing seeds and things of that nature. Not the twisted version of sowing seeds, but they actually planted seeds to harvest, to get crops. So, and here Isaiah, he's talking about Jerusalem and Judah. So, I'm sorry, Israel and Judah. And he's saying that I did all of these things for you. I planted I'm this vineyard. I got y'all together. You got everything you need. But instead of you bearing fruit, I wanted sweet grapes and I get bitterness. So, think about your own lives. Think about all that the Lord has just done for you in your life. Think about what he's done. If you can't think that far back, think about today. Everything to get you here right in this place, the Lord did that for you. So when he asks you to do something, it's not a request, it's a command. Got quiet? We don't like commands. We don't bring anything to the table. Each one of us is a liability at best. We're nothing without the Lord. He's done everything for you. I heard a preacher say, if you don't can't connect the dots between what the Lord has done for you and not, sit and wait on your next breath and see if you get it. Because in this moment, from the time we woke up to now, he's constantly giving us next breaths. Constantly. Allowing our hearts to beat. Allowing our lungs to expand. Allowing our ears and our eyes to work. Our legs, arms, and hands to work. So, one beautiful thing about a single vine is it can carry a lot of grapes. A lot. I mean, a ton. Vines are very, very strong. So keep that in mind, because not only is the vine strong, so is the branch. And if we feed off of the vine as branches, we can bear a lot of fruit. Amen? And then verse 2 says, he cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit, and he prunes the branches that do bear fruit so that they will produce even more. Some of you have green thumbs in terms of dealing with plants. I don't. When people give me plants, I reject them. If they keep insisting, I let them know it's going to be in the trash in about a few days because it's going to die. Because I don't have a green thumb. But one thing I understand, I used to watch Karate Kid growing up, like the original. And Mr. Miyagi would trim and prune bonsai trees. And it was to promote their growth. People with green thumbs understand that them dead leaves and branches have to be pruned off of a living plant. So some of the stuff that we bring to the table, like in our foolishness, the Father has to trim and prune so that you can bear more fruit. Okay. The Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in the vine that bears no fruit, and he prunes the ones that do to become more fruitful. A dead branch is not going to produce fruit because it's dead. When your leaves fall off the tree and hit your grass, they're dead. Amen. That all they're good for is compost. Most of us put them in them paper bags and set them on the curb. That's dead action. We serve the one living true God. He wants you to not just live your best life, but to be extraordinary in everything you say and do. Amen. That's all God knows, is what's past ordinary. We talked about this in Sunday school maybe a week or so, talking about the brilliant colors of certain birds and animals and certain things that you see in nature. And those are the animals. The word talks about lilies of the field and birds of the air, and how he provides for them and how they're beautiful. What more will he do for you? Brothers and sisters, just say yes. Just say yes. I know it may seem difficult. It may take you out of your comfort zone. But the least you can do is say yes. If the Father cares enough to prune you, so that you can become more fruitful. And he's very well aware of what fruit you have in you because he put it in you. But we settle for less, don't we? We happy producing one grape. And we think we hit the jackpot. And the Lord planted a whole vineyard of grapes in you. And you hang out with one grape. I did not want to be a preacher. I didn't want to teach Sunday school. I didn't. But over time, and because of my pastor, he kept lovingly nudging, hey, if you love the Lord, you'll be the church early. If you love the Lord, if you love the Lord, you love the Lord. And I'm like, I get the message. He had to say it a few times, more than a few. But I understand it. Because all for a pastor to look at the church that he serves, he wants, just like if it's a man of God with a heart after God's own heart, he wants to see fruit. Now, me personally, because I've been around for a minute, I've seen the growth. I've seen the fruit. And it's a beautiful thing to witness. Amen?
Amen?
Verse 3 says, you have already been pruned and purified by the message I have given you. So, before I go back to go to verse 3, what is the purpose of pruning? Pruning promotes growth and becoming more fruitful as the Father cuts away parts of the branch that impair growth. So the Lord knows what your issue is. The Lord knows that thing that keeps you from growing, from stepping outside of your comfort zone. The Lord knows that. So it doesn't have to be on display in terms of the pruning process. That's between you and the Lord. What he will display publicly is the fruit. Because typically that's what we notice if we see a vineyard, if you've ever been to one. I haven't been to one. I've been past one in California. But you can see grapes hanging in clusters, bunches of grapes, fruit. That means something's growing, something is producing. And then the beautiful thing is, because of those grapes, not the genetically modified ones, but the ones with seeds in them, they can continue life.
Amen.
So let's look at John chapter 17, verse 17. And it says, make them holy by your truth. Teach them your word, which is truth. So, as we're being pruned, like it says in verse 3, and being purified by the message I've given you, one, these are Jesus' words in John 17:17. And he's saying here, make them holy by your truth. Teach them your word, which is the truth. We don't have to try to figure it out on our own. We could just simply go to the word. That's the truth. And the beautiful thing about God's word, it's the absolute truth. It don't change. It's what it is. And that's why where it says here, you've already been pruned and purified by my message I have given you. Once you get saved, you already in the growing process. Now, because of these bodies and our sin natures, we require to be pruned. We have to be. Because to be honest with you, I haven't reached my full potential. And if you have, God bless you. But typically when you reach your full potential, he take you home. So I'm grateful that we still growing together. But he wants us to realize that we're already in the process because of the message we receive, which is the good news that Jesus died on the cross. And like we discussed in Sunday school, he only had to do it one time. So no matter, and I know that's hard for us to conceive. It is really hard for us to conceive that Jesus died for people that reject him. And you know what's for us? We look at other people and we don't look in the mirror. So it's easy for me to point out what Ed is not doing versus what John needs to be doing. Oh, that person, excellent conversation, by the way, in Sunday school. That was excellent. What we talked about, for those who weren't there, we talked about if somebody got saved as a kid and then at 30 decide they want to be a Muslim. Regardless, they still, if they got saved, they're saved. Wow. Locked in. Because I'm going to tell y'all something. It ain't even a secret. Because if you listen to him talk, you'll hear it. Mm-hmm. Farrakhan started in the church.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
If you listen to him, he knows a lot of Bible.
Yeah.
He chose to move to that faith. But he started in the church as a Christian. Now, if he's saved, I tell you, if you listen to him, it sounds like it. However, he chose something different. But it's easy for us to point that out in him, but we choose different every day, all day. Some of us gonna choose different leaving here today when they're going past the speed limit. When the word says obey the laws of the land. So if it's 35, it's not 37. It's not 54 in a 35. See how we flip? If it's our stuff, it's sacred. If it's different when it's us. And you know what's crazy? I drive the speed limit after getting a $250 ticket and the points, and my car insurance is going up. So I set my cruise control on purpose. See, if you know what that feel like, and the judge was talking dirty to me. Yeah. When you know what that feels like, you look at the speed limit differently. But that's me owning my stuff, and that's my experience. And then I'll share it freely, as we should, giving our testimony, talking about how the Lord got us through. Because he never said he's going to get you over. You had to go through. But that's part of the pruning process for John, because I have a lead foot. So I can point out my stuff. Because I was rejecting God's rules. Nah, I'm cool. I got this. It's my speed limit. I'm the boss. Sound like Satan. Well, Lucifer at the time. Yeah. It's easy for us to point. Hard for us to own. Verse 4 says, remain in me and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine. And you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. If you take the opportunity to read the John chapter 15, again, these are Jesus' words. What you will realize is he constantly says, remain in me. Constantly. So fruit displays who you belong to. Let's look at John chapter 1, verse 3. John chapter 1, verse 3 says, God created everything through him, and nothing was created except through him. That him is Jesus.
Yeah.
The elder brother, the same guy that died on the cross for your sins. So imagine being subject to your creation. Think about that. That's like me, that's like John and Braylon having rule over me. That's different, right? So, by law of nature and science and spiritually if you say, who do we belong to already?
Jesus.
Our creator. It says everything was created through him.
Yes.
All right?
Yes.
So let's look at Ephesians chapter 2. And we're going to look at verses 12 through 16. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 12 through 16. In those days, you were living apart from Christ. You were excluded from citizenship among the people of Israel, and you did not know the covenant promises God had made to them. You lived in this world without God and without hope. But now you have been united with Christ Jesus. Once you were far away from God, but now you have been brought near to him through the blood of Christ. For Christ himself has brought peace to us. He united Jews and Gentiles into one people when in his own body on the cross, he broke down the wall of hostility that separated us. He did this by ending the system of law with his commandments and regulations. He made peace between Jews and Gentiles by creating in himself one new people from two groups. Together as one body, Christ reconciled both groups to God by means of his death on the cross, and our hostility toward each other was put to death. This was the writing to the church of Ephesus. So, if we were created by him, now we're united through his death, burial, and resurrection. So once you accept Christ, you become one with him. So by science, like I said, scientifically, we were created by him. Spiritually, we are unified with him once we get saved. So oneness with Christ, where it talks about in verse 4, remain in me and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it's severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Let's be clear, brothers and sisters. If you're not saved, you will not produce the fruit.
Wow.
You are a dead branch. You are a dead branch. Getting saved connects you. I like how Reverend Natrice Jackson used to say, she talked about we're engrafted in the Lord. Because we're branches, he created us. And then once we get saved, we lock in. And that's why the Holy Spirit is inside of you, convicting you when you do wrong and urging you and helping you to do right. Because no matter what you do, as we read this morning in John chapter, I can't remember the actual chapter, but what we read where it was verses 28 and 29, where Jesus said, no one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. We're one. No matter what we say or what we do, you can go home and be like, F God, F God, F God. And he like, I still love you. When you get out your feelings, I'll still be right here because I'm not going to let you go because you belong to me.
And
I'm thankful for that.
Yes.
Because I know me, and if you're honest with yourself, you know you. Some of these mothers wasn't always up in the church. Some of them was shooting dice and robbing and stabbing. We are thankful for your growth and for your presence. But I'm related to some of them, so I know.
All of them. Right.
Except Mother Doris. But all of them that's present, yeah. We all family. So, no judgment though, mothers. No judgment. But he knows how we are. He's not surprised by our actions. But us being one with Christ should motivate you in your obedience and your trust in him. Because he's not going back to the cross. He paid that price for you and for me. He wants you to be all up in his mix, and he wants to be all in your business. So that stuff that you don't want to talk about, you can talk to him about.
Yes.
You can release to him.
Yes.
The word says we can boldly approach the throne of grace.
Amen.
Not timid like, oh, Lord, can you help me? No, Daddy, I need some help.
Amen.
Please, right now, help me to understand. Make this thing easier for me.
Right.
And guess what?
Yeah.
He will.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen.
Now, as far as the fruits, let's look at Galatians chapter 5. Galatians, it's not. I'm under time. I don't want no trouble with Sharon, okay?
Amen.
AKA Sharon. We're going to look at verses 22 through 24. Galatians 5, 22 reads, "But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and this the one, and self-control." There is no law against these. Pay attention now. 24 says, "Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there." Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That's the fruit of the Spirit. That's what we're supposed to be displaying in this cruel and chaotic, unruly world. And that's just inside the church. I mean, that's what we're supposed to be displaying, church. Would you agree that the world needs more of this? Especially right now. The world is screaming out for the church to do its job.
Yep. Yep.
And you got people in church scared, terrified, and worried about everything except what they're supposed to be focused on.
Yeah.
The Lord has been taking care of you this long. And I'm quoting my grandmother, because that's what she told me when I was fussing about an election 20-some years ago. She simply said, "The Lord has been taking care of you this long." And she said, "I'll holler at you," and she hung up the phone. That was the end of the conversation. What more does he have to do to convince you so that you can tell somebody about his son that died for them and you? And he didn't just die, he rose. He got up, and then he's still going to bat as our lawyer with the judge. He leaned over and be like, yeah, you know, I know he shot that move last night, but not guilty. I died for him. And I rose, and I'm interceding. And we get so caught up in what everybody else doing that we think we sitting on the judge seat. Stop. Look in the mirror. I will tell anybody, I'm reading a book called The Man the Moment Demands by Jason Wilson. And he's a believer, brother from Detroit. And it talks about 10 characteristics of a comprehensive man. Because a lot of time you hear men say, I'm the provider, I'm the protector. Yeah, that's 2 out of 10. But one of the things in the book, it gives exercises that I have to do. And one of them was to identify the source of my anger and sadness. Now I'm sitting there like, I'm not angry, I ain't sad, not at the moment. But I had to take time to identify that. And then it has you, the exercise has you look in the mirror for 60 seconds at yourself, eye to eye. And then it has affirmations and things of that nature. But what I'm saying is, we are works in progress, but we got to move. We have to be active in our wellness spiritually, mentally, and physically. The time for us to sit on the bench, chew, and that's all we do is over. We are required, we are commanded to go make disciples. I had the opportunity to go to Jamaica on a mission trip. If you ever have an opportunity to go away on a mission trip, do it. You will physically see good and evil working against each other. You will physically see it. But one beautiful thing that I'll never forget, spending 2 weeks in Jamaica, and it wasn't at the resort Jamaica, it's in the hood Jamaica. But machetes and knives and stuff like that, Jamaica. But we out in the hood witnessing the kids, adults, teenagers. That was the best trip I ever had in my life. Because I was actually doing the work of the Lord, making disciples and witnessing and telling people my story. And I was only 17 years old. So that's what, you may not go on a mission trip. That's fine. Pastor uses Facebook to witness all the time to millions of people that he don't know and see. He just put it out there and bam, plant the seed. That's our job. Amen? Let's look at verse 5. It says, yes, I am the vine. You are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. So, if Jesus has already purified us, if he's already equipped us with the power to do what we can and what we will, what's the problem? What's the problem? What are you afraid of? The word talks about don't be afraid of somebody who can kill the body.
Wow.
But be afraid of the one that can kill the soul and the body. The one that can kill the soul and the body is the Creator, Jesus. So, Jesus uses the word remain in me multiple times in these verses. What does the word remain mean? I'm about to get to that. Y'all so smart. And that's exactly what it means. Meno, M-E-N-O in Greek, means to stay, abide, continue, dwell, endure, be present. That means that we have to allow ourselves time with the Lord to listen, to process. I'm going to tell you this, to be in love with him. To be in relationship with him. I tried something. I was having a rough time. And the Lord said, light a candle, cut the TV off. Don't look at your phone. So I sat. I like candles, especially when it smells good. So I lit the candle, I sat on my couch, and I was just quiet. And he revealed to me, this is our date night.
Okay, that's good.
This is us spending time together.
Come on now.
I just want you to feel my love in my presence. I want you to abide and snuggle up with me. I want to be all in your mix. And I just want you to concentrate and to think about me. See, we're so busy, so we don't make time for stuff like that. And it may sound corny to you. I care less, honestly. I enjoyed myself. I felt rejuvenated and energized and loved. Because one thing that the Lord revealed as I was doing my exercise in that book, the source of my anger and sadness was rejection.
That's good. Okay.
And he pointed it out. He said, when your father denied you at birth, that's when it started.
Yeah.
Because that's what happened to me. He was like, that ain't my baby. That's Jenga Leg, baby. My mom wasn't going for it, but nonetheless, y'all know the story. We reconciled before he left for going to be with the Lord. We had an awesome relationship. But sometimes we hang on to things because we don't want the Lord to take it from us. He's not going to take it from you. He wants you to cast it at his feet boldly at the altar. So when he says abide in me, remain in me, continue in me, dwell in me, you know, as we bear more fruit, the Father will lift those branches up. What do heavy branches do? They fall because of the weight of the fruit. But if you notice, if you've ever seen it, sometimes people that have plants know you have to tie them up and lift them up so that they can continue to grow. That's what the Father does as our gardener. He wants you to bear so much fruit that it gets heavy on that branch. And that he'll lift you up and show you off and show you out to the world. That's one thing I enjoy about, as I close, I enjoy the opportunity to fall in love with Jesus. The song talks about in his arms, I feel protected. In his arms, never disconnected.
Say that.
In his arms, I feel protected. There's no place I'd rather be. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for who you are. We thank you, Father, for pruning us and wanting us to bear all the fruit that you've planted in us. Lord, we pray right now that whatever's getting in our way of bearing fruit, that you remove it. Lord, that you would make it easier for us to bear fruit. Even in the tough times, no matter what we face, help us to bear fruit. Help us to bear so much fruit, Lord, that we drag and you lift us up and show out in our lives so that we can draw people to us, Lord, ultimately drawing them to you. Because that's our job, Lord. We need to make disciples, Lord. We can see what's going on. We know that the time is ticking. We can act like we don't, but we know what's happening. But we thank you, Lord, for allowing us to be on a winning team. Lord, help us as we digest this word, as we live this word, and as we share it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, good morning.